The conference coming up in North Carolina is described as engaging in a collaborative process to move America from a racialized democracy toward an inclusive one. What exactly do you mean by a racialized democracy versus an inclusive democracy?
We're giving a clear intention and focus on the history of the belief in racial hierarchy as it manifests in various disparities and inequitable outcomes and inequitable access to opportunity today in this country. We feel that a more inclusive democracy will really have put that legacy behind us. We haven't quite done that yet as a country. Many suggest that we live in a post-racialized America, but we know we're not there yet, and this is work to get us there.
And how do you hope the conference moves towards that goal?
Well, we've been funding grantees around the country now for many years, but in this particular effort for the last 5 years, these are community-based organizations that are willing to do the hard work of bringing diverse communities together to look at the racialized history, particularly of their local communities, and then to move past that in thoughtful ways. So we basically are expanding that community and that network of grantees. They are sharing their methodologies and their tools, and they're learning more about how to do the work more effectively.
What kind of projects are we talking about here? Perhaps you could discuss an example or two.
There are a couple in Michigan we could talk about. One is the Michigan Roundtable for Diversity and Inclusion. Another is an effort at Western Michigan University, which is similar to an effort at Ole Miss, the Mississippi University. It's called the Winter Institute in Mississippi, and they basically work on helping the college and the community to take a clear look at the history. In that case, it's Mississippi. It will be Michigan for Western Michigan University, and to equip young people with tools and knowledge that enable them to be more effective in their chosen professions. For example, someone who goes into the medical profession who doesn't understand the history of racism and segregation in this country is much more likely to bring unconscious stereotypes and biases into their work as physicians if they haven't been exposed to a deeper understanding and deeper knowledge about racial history. And if you grow up in America and, you know, don't live with the reality of racism, you could easily not understand that history.
A report released recently by the Kellogg Foundation asked an interesting question: do Americans see race too much or not enough? How would you answer that question?
I think that the subject has got to move beyond race to the issue of racism. And racism is just a belief, you know, an archaic, historic belief that somehow you could measure the value of a human being based on their physical characteristics. Now, we know that that is not true, and everything in our science today affirms that we are largely one human family. But the antiquated notions of difference and difference in value, the residue of that still exists because it dominated our culture for at least three centuries, if not more.
Do you think that there's a difference between being race neutral and what some people refer to as being colorblind?
Both of those are, in fact, decisions not to acknowledge the reality of the racialized structures upon which our nation was built. You really can't be colorblind in America and be, I think, authentic and sincere. Our structures have had too long to be embedded in a different way. And to attempt to be race neutral is also to ignore that history. And that, I believe, is unfair, both to the integrity of the country and to the people in it. We have to acknowledge and own our history and then move past it. But choosing to be colorblind or race neutral at this point in our evolution is premature.
Who are some of the people who are going to be involved in this year's conference? It's going to be the third conference that the Kellogg Foundation has held.
Right. This year's conference, the theme is Reclaiming the Narrative, which has to do with telling stories that have not been told in the mainstream media usually. So we have about 500 of our actual grantees. We have the leaders of the major, what have traditionally been viewed as civil rights organizations coming. We have several news anchors that will be moderating our panels. But these are mostly grassroots community leaders who recognize the importance of doing this work in order to end disparities like the disparities in the criminal justice system, some of the disparities in health outcomes, and certainly the achievement gaps in education, not to mention the wealth gaps that are only growing in these hard economic times. So you're going to have economists and policy leaders and community activists and faith community leaders all coming together to explore how to do this work. You know, they're beyond the issue of should we do the work or why do the work, but most importantly, how to do it, how to measure its impact, and how to share that knowledge so that we move our country forward in a positive way.
And you hope that there are concrete results from this conference before the fourth one rolls around next year?
The concrete results are basically the expansion of the community and the codifying, if you will, of some of the methodologies and strategies. So we have an evaluation team on site, and we'll be collecting information and we'll be sharing it. So that's what, you know, you mean, I guess, when we talk about concrete results from a convening. But the other concrete result is we want to keep the energy there. We want to keep the focus, and we want to continue to frame the work in a new way, a way that focuses on our collective humanity, not on dividing us, but on bringing us together by including and honoring the stories and the experiences, both of pain and of triumph, that have pretty much been eliminated from the mainstream discourse. Most of the children being born in America today are children of color, and most of those children are growing up in low-income communities and families. And that reality is not acceptable for a vibrant and vital country as we go forward. We have to make sure that all children thrive and that they grow up with equal opportunity to realize their full potential. And that's what this work is about.